I hope this message will tie right in with what Roy talked about, that what is our response here and now to that Savior, to that one who is rebuilding the walls, and that one to whom, if we stay our minds, brace ourselves on Him, He gives perfect peace. And, you know, there was once a man who had it all. He had all the wisdom, the riches, the women, the fame that you could ever imagine. And we know I'm talking about King Solomon. In 1 Kings, King Solomon was son of David and Bathsheba. And when he became king after David had died, in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord asked him in a dream. He appeared unto him in a dream in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. And he asked him, he said, "He in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee." And then skip to verse 9, and he asked, Solomon responded, he says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast the life of thine enemies, but hast asked thyself understanding to discern judgment." Verse 12, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." Listen to verse 14. "And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." We know King Solomon had it all. He had it all. Look, 1 Kings chapter 10, it goes through a litany of just all of the outward achievements, the grandeur, the beauty of all of the fame and the riches that Solomon had. And it says there that King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the world in riches and wisdom. And we know that famous Queen of Sheba had heard tell of all the wisdom and fame of Solomon. And she had heard rumors about how great he was, and so she wanted to see for herself. And so she traveled over 1,000 miles. She did not have an airplane. She traveled over 1,000 miles to hear of the wisdom of Solomon, to see for herself, to see this grandeur and this beauty that he had. She came to question him and to see for herself. And we know the famous statement she said, "The half was not told me. The half was not told me." And there's a very good spiritual lesson in there, but that's not my subject for today. But sadly, we know that King Solomon became completely enslaved to himself. He became completely enslaved to his fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we see that his heart became entangled with the lust of the flesh, with the pagan women of the day. In 1 Kings chapter 11. And remember, I want to go back there, keep in your mind 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14, where God said, "If thou continue in my ways, if thou remember me as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days." And we see, after it talks about the great wealth and fame of Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, and Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And that's where we get to the text that I actually want for today, and that's Ecclesiastes 12:13, and the title of the message is The Conclusion of the Matter. The Conclusion of the Matter. Where do we turn? After all, Solomon had everything. He had everything. He had the stuff of this earth. We're all prone in our sinful nature to covetousness. We all probably want in some ways what we don't have. We've heard the statement, get rich or die trying. We hear Daddy always quoting Rockefeller when they ask him, how much money is enough money? Just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. I wish my check was just a little bit bigger. I wish my car was a little nicer. Well, Solomon had all of that. He had all of that. And what did he conclude in Ecclesiastes? He concluded that all is vanity. All is vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He says vanity, or some form of that word, 38 times. And we know in the Bible when you repeat something, it's for a reason. You're getting a point across. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Solomon has a message for us. And it's, learn from my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. He says in verse 14 of chapter 1, I have seen all the works done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity. He concludes that this life of luxury was actually a life of emptiness, and it left him completely unsatisfied. So, what does he say at the end of his life, the conclusion of the matter? Fear God. Fear God. And keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. What does it mean to fear God? It means to revere God. To stand in awe of God. Roy was talking about these people who don't want to submit to authority. They want to do what they want, whatever they want with their own bodies. They want to do... If they want to kill children, they can kill children and things like that. They don't want to honor and come unto submission with God's perfect design in Genesis chapter 1 through 3. We live in a world that is completely self-absorbed and hates authority. I actually had a guy at work one time tell me, he was honest enough to tell me that he didn't want to believe in God. He didn't want to believe that there was a God because he knew if there was, he has to submit, and he wanted to do whatever he wanted to do with his body. He wanted to enjoy sexual pleasure if he wanted to, and he didn't want to have to feel guilty about it. So he didn't want to believe in God. But we know from Solomon, who had it all, who had all of that sexual pleasure and other things, that it was all empty and it did not satisfy. Fear God. Come under submission to God. We hear all about this in Psalms and Proverbs, and I won't turn to them. I'll just reference them. Psalm 111, verse 10, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. So how do I get wisdom? What's the key to getting wisdom? What's the starting point to getting wisdom? I heard a great definition. I think of wisdom as knowledge applied, or the application of knowledge. How the right application of knowledge. How do I get that? Fear the Lord. Come under submission to the Lord. That is not an Egyptian taskmaster type of fear. But think maybe Isaiah chapter 6. You know, where he sees the Lord. His train filled the temple. Those seraphims with their six wings to cover themselves. Because they saw, and Isaiah saw, the holiness of God. The thrice holy God. And his response was, I'm vile. I'm unclean. He saw himself compared and contrasted with the holiness of God. That is the type of fear. But then what does he do after that? That was his commission to becoming a prophet, a messenger, an ambassador of the Lord. fear God. It's not a slavish fear. But Job tells us, I should make Matt a quote. He probably has all of Job quoted. And Job tells us, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. It is wisdom. It is showing wisdom to fear the Lord or honor the Lord or worship the Lord. Do you want to know where to find true happiness? We all want to be happy, right? We all want happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment. Well, in the Hebrew, the word blessed is translated happy or highly favored or well favored. And Psalm 112 tells us, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Happy, satisfied is the man that feareth the Lord. To fear God is to submit to Him. We have to submit to Him. Is to worship Him. As the psalmist says, I don't know if it was David or not, the psalmist says, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before Him all the earth. We were put on this earth to be worshipers. He is Creator. We are creation. He's strong. We are weak. He's infinite. We are finite. We are sinners. He is judge and Savior. We were put on this earth to submit to our great Creator and Sustainer. Fear God. Well, you know, one commentator said, I love this quote, he said, the antidote, because we all in our sinful nature may envy the wicked. It seems like they have everything. Man, I bet there are a lot of people that envied Solomon and all the everything that he had. But the antidote to following our own lusts, this commentator says, which war against the soul, the antidote to following our own idols and vanities is fearing God. It's fearing God and obeying Him. And we get that from Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You know, Asaph envied the wicked in Psalm 73. He talked about how he admitted he envies the wicked. It seems like they're always on top. It seems like they're winning. They have what I can't have. They're prospering. The wicked are prospering. Doesn't it seem like that in the world today? It seems like the wicked are prospering. It seems like evil is winning. But go to, I believe, verse 24 of Psalm 73 and see what Asaph concludes. He says, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. I was foolish and ignorant. I was not thinking straight to envy the wicked. Fear the Lord. What will fear of the Lord lead to? What will it lead to? It leads, the obvious fruit of it is obedience. Keeping His commandments. Keeping His commandments. Where do we get that? We get that right from what Daddy spoke to us about Wednesday night. The inspiration of Scripture. Well, what all in the sufficiency of Scripture, what is it sufficient for? What is it inspired to do? It is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In, I believe, 2 Peter or 1 Peter, we've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's found right in His Word. So we are to submit to Him. James tells us, we know James, be a doer or a performer of God's Word. John Gill says, keeping the commandments or obedience to the whole will of God is the fruit and the evidence that the fear of God is in us. But listen, it's so easy. It is so easy to say, I love you, God. I love you and I want to do what's right. I'll pick up my Bible. I'll be in the house of the Lord once a week. But in our hearts are far away from it. And it may just be out of duty or out of to please our parents or whatever it may be. And that's better than if that's all we have at that point, we need to still do it whether we feel like it or not. But where are our hearts? Where are our hearts? We must pray, God, give me a pure heart, a heart that truly wants to submit to you. Jesus tells us, if you love, in John 14, I believe, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you will obey me. if you truly fear me, you will obey me. Where do we know how to fear him? It's right here in his word. It's right here in his word. There was an old preacher that he was talking to a group of younger preachers, and they asked him, how often should people really read their Bible? How often should they really read their Bible? And he looked and he said, well, let me ask you the same. Let me throw that back to you as a question. How often do you need to eat? How often do you need to eat? How often do you have trials? How often do you have temptations? How often do you have questions? Of course, they all knew the answer every single day. We must be in God's Word every single day. And be as the psalmist in Psalm 63, follow hard, my soul followeth hard after thee. That word follow is actually the same word where the word cleave comes from in Genesis, where the man and the woman leave their parents and cleave to one another, to be glued to one another. We need to have the desire, the insatiable, the unquenchable desire for God's Word, that we are glued to it. Because it truly does pertain and to everything, all things life and godliness, however that goes, I'm butchering that. But listen, it should not be a slavish fear. We're told in Galatians 5, we've been given freedom from the yoke of bondage. We've been given freedom from the chains of sin. And if you are in Christ, that is the most freeing place you can be. Because where Solomon was, he was completely a slave. He was completely a slave to his nature, to these pagan women that, sure enough, turned his heart after God. But we are to fear the Lord, to keep His commandments. I love the word keep. Every word of the Bible, is He's always telling us, is wonderful. And it's a military word. And it really means to guard, but it also means to prevent from escaping. To prevent from escaping. What if everybody in this church was so following after the words of God and esteeming His words more than our necessary food that it was as if, I don't want this to escape from me. I don't want this to escape from me. I believe we might see revival and repentance of sin. Because there is joy and freedom in truly fearing the Lord. And I'll close here. This is the whole of man. The word duty actually in there is italicized. So that means the translators added that, just I guess for clarity's sake. But I think it's really powerful that this is the sum of what our lives should be. This is the end. This is, after all is said and done, the conclusion of the matter. To fear God and keep His commandments is the whole of man. You want to be a mature man or woman? You want to be a growing man or woman? Fear God and keep His commandments. Young people, and if you're young at heart, He gives us quite a admonition, a sober admonition. Solomon does in Ecclesiastes 12. Remember when you're a teenager. Remember when you get older, get married. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. The evil days are talking about when you get older. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator now. The lie that maybe has been thrown out there that says, you know, it's okay, sow your wild oats now. You can settle down when you get older. That's hogwash. Learn from Solomon. I'm sure there's others. Say, learn from my mistakes. I had it all. And behold, all is vanity. So remember now our Creator. In Psalm 147, and I'll turn here. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. The psalmist says, He delighteth, talking about God, He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Listen, military strength, that's wonderful. Intellect, that's wonderful. That's a gift from God. A good job, that's great. Big muscles, wonderful. That's not what God delights in. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that revere or stand in awe or worship Him. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy, in those that have confidence in His undeserved kindness that He gives to His children. So work hard and try to make more money if you're able to and do all these things and exercise and enjoy life. But remember, do it for the glory of God. Because everything else is empty. Everything else is vanity. One guy said that I heard, he said, to fear God is really just to remember who God is and to remember who you are. And it reminds me of Matt and I talking about Job yesterday on the way back from Greenwood, you know, and Job, after he had kind of was murmuring to God, and then in Job 38, where God goes off for two chapters telling about how great He is. Where were you when I formed the earth and I spoke things into existence? And then what does Job do? He says, let me shut up. I need to shut up. Let me put my hands over my mouth. He put Job in his place. Sometimes we need to be put in our place. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole of man, or the whole duty of man. And in closing, I want to read Moses' instructions to the children of Israel. And I want this to be instructions to Grace Chapel today, to you. Take this individually today and for myself individually. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is what God requires. This is what Moses' instructions for Israel and what God requires. And this is just as relevant today. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now Israel, and now Grace Chapel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Fear God and keep His commandments. God bless you. 10:12-13, I'll read it again. And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good.